name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
If you, O Lord, should count our sins,
then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you,
in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
How lovely is your dwelling place,
O Lord of hosts!
My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord.
My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young.
At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house,
ever singing your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
Blessed are those whose strength is in you,
in whose hearts are the highways to Zion.
Whose glory it is always to have mercy. Be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from the second book of Moses called Exodus, the 17th chapter.
All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, quarreling and testing, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God,
and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth.
The heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it.
And his hands formed the dry land.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God,
and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand.
Today, if you hear his voice,
do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness,
when your fathers put me to the test
and put me to the proof, though they have seen my work. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 5th chapter. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The hour is coming and is now here,
when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter.
Glory be to you.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the 6th hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Jesus, Savior, Son, receive. Oh.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from John chapter 4, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Later she says, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things." Amen. Jesus said, "I am the one who is speaking to you." This is our text. Every day it was the same. Every single day, perhaps with the exception of the Sabbath, shortly before noon, she headed out of town in the direction of the well, the one traced all the way back to Father Jacob. She went there alone, eyes lowered, empty water jar balanced on her head. And an hour later, you'd see her trudging back through the dust, trudging back to her old life, weighed down with that same jar, full now. Back to the shadow of 5 ex-husbands and the current man who wasn't. A woman whose soul was like dust, the dust of death. Today, as usual, you saw her leave. But an hour later, instead of a slow trudge, you see a little cloud kicked up by her heels as she comes bustling and panting back into town. Where's her water jar? What happened out at Jacob's well? Clutching her sides with a lovely little smile you'd never seen before, she only says, "Come, come see a man who told me all I ever did." Can this be the Christ? Come. See. She invites you out to the well. She invites you to a man unlike any man she'd ever known. A man she never expected to meet. A man she never dreamed would have anything to do with someone like her. But that's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Let's go back to the beginning. It was, as I said, about noon, hot and dusty under the Middle Eastern sun, and that was always when she went to draw water. The other women, of course, went when the sun was lower, morning or evening. The other women went chattering with little ones at their heels. But not this woman. She kept to herself, partly out of shame, partly because she knew that those women wouldn't give her the time of day if she asked. She didn't belong with them. So she goes out at noon on this hot day, and she's surprised to find someone else out by the well. And if it were possible, this stranger looked even more weary and dirty than she was. By the looks of him, he'd already traveled a long way that day. How far he still had to go, she didn't know, and she wasn't about to ask. Better to mind your own business. Keep your head down, do what you came for. Besides, she could see that she wasn't one of them, a Samaritan. He was a Jew. And you know how well they mix, like oil and water. Jews viewed Samaritans as half-breeds. As half-breeds with corrupted religious practices, because the Samaritans' Israelite ancestors had intermarried with foreigners brought there after the Assyrian conquest. So she'd just fill her jar with water and be on her way. "Give me a drink." Already anxious and on edge, his voice startled her. "Give me a drink." It wasn't harsh, it wasn't rude, but why would he? What could he possibly want from her? Everyone knew that Jews thought Samaritan women were unclean from birth. They wouldn't be caught dead touching the same cup, much less drinking from it. How is it that you ask me for a drink? The nerve. But then it took a strange turn. He didn't seem to care at all about that whole Jew and Samaritan bit, almost as if 700 years of bad blood and religious differences were nothing to him. His request for water had been a surprise, but his next words were just plain confusing. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked me, and he would have given you living water. What? Who is this guy? Where's his source of fresh running water? She looks around. What gift of God could he possibly be talking about? Why, you got nothing to draw water. And God knows how deep the well is. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well. He drank from it himself. So did his sons and his livestock. Ah, woman, he replied, everyone who drinks the water from Jacob's well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I'll give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I'll give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. But she doesn't get it. She's still on the surface level. She's still thinking about earthly drinking water. But even so, it sounds like a great deal. Water that satisfies forever? Why, she'd never have to make that lonely, sweaty, dusty trip to the well again. Sir, you've made me thirsty just talking about it. Give me this water. Honestly, she didn't have a clue how deep her thirst really was. I mean her spiritual thirst. She didn't realize how dry the well was, the well from which she'd been drawing all her life. She didn't know how bad the water was that she'd been drinking. Do you? What well are you drawing from day after day after day? What kind of water does it hold? And what's the deeper thirst that's driving you to it? Because I can guarantee this Samaritan woman isn't the only one walking a lonely road with a soul as dry as dust, trying to quench her thirst in the same place, same sad place, day after day after day. Jacob's well just won't cut it. And now she's been offered something better. Now she's been offered a spring of water welling up to eternal life. She's not about to let that pass by. So do you see what's happened here? What started with him asking her for a drink of water leads to her asking him for water. Now she wants what this guy has. You should want it too. Go, he says. Call your husband and come here. Here, not to the well, but to me. What is this? Is this a proposal? Because she doesn't have a husband, not just now, but she'd be in the market for one. Well, I've got no husband, she says. He already knows. He knows just how great her thirst is. You're right. For you had 5 husbands, and the one you now have isn't your husband. What you've said is true. He knows. My God, he knows! He told me all I ever did. She wasn't talking about the kinds of things you put on a college application or a resume. She didn't mean the carefully presented image you post on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever social media you use. She meant her 5 husbands and her current live-in. All I ever did. What a scary idea. To have everything I've ever done and been exposed, laid bare, known by someone else, known by this stranger at the well. What is it for you? What are the five husbands that haunt your life? What people, things, and situations would you prefer to keep hidden? What false beliefs have you mixed with the truth, and what strange gods have you worshipped? But he knows. He already knows. That's why he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's asking you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He knows what you need, you thirsty Samaritans, dry as dust. He knows that you need him and what's there in him. You need that the fountain that brings life to the dust of the earth. For though you are returning to dust, he brings resurrection and new life. Only a prophet could know her sin like that. Only a prophet could know your sin like that. So this man by the well, he must be a prophet. Maybe even something more than a prophet. And as a prophet, surely he can tell her where to go for forgiveness, where to worship. Whether on the Samaritan mountain or at the temple in Jerusalem with the Jews. Woman, believe me, he says, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father, for he will be worshipped in a new way. Forgiveness will come in a new place. The hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. True worship isn't so much about a place, though we certainly need places to gather, but it's even more about a person, about him. True worship is to worship in communion with this man, with this stranger at the well, and the Holy Spirit whom he sends. True worship is to receive the forgiveness that comes from his hands. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ, and when he comes, he'll tell us all things. Jesus said, I am the one who is speaking to you. And now she knows the gift of God. Now she knows who it was that said to her, give me a drink. Now she knows the source of living water. And now you know, too. The gift of God is the Son, whom the Father sent in love to be lifted high on the cross. The gift of God is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The gift of God is the bridegroom, the one who has the bride. He asked for a drink. What kind of drink would he have? It's why he met her at the well that day and why he meets you here today. What kind of drink is he asking for? Not water from Jacob's well, but he's asking for her sin, her shame, her death, and for yours, along with the cup of God's wrath. He will drink it. Even if it leaves him crying out in agony in the middle of the day under the heat and the sun, even if it leaves him crying out, I thirst, he will drink it. Even if it kills him and blood and water come pouring out of his side, he will drink it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us Samaritans. And whoever believes in him has eternal life. For in him is life, life in the beginning, life now, and life forevermore. As he cried out on another occasion, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And now he said this about the Holy Spirit. The life of Jesus and his Spirit you have gushing within you. This life is given and received in holy baptism, and so becomes yours. And each day, the old life is put to death and buried with Jesus, and his Spirit lives in us. This life is yours in his holy body and blood, given and shed for you and placed into your mouth. What shall we do with this life, with this eternal life that we have in him? Live it, dear Christian. Live this life, this eternal life, just like the Samaritan woman. Did you notice she wasn't afraid when he told her everything she'd ever done? That's what made her free. Finally, at long last, she'd found a man who loved her enough to lay down his life for her. Finally, she found a man who washed her with living water and his word. Finally, a man who covered her sins so that she appears in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and covers yours as well. And now this woman is so free that she can leave the old water jar behind, kick up her heels, and run back to town, shouting, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Come, you who thirst, and drink it up with her." There's no going back now. No going back to the old life, or the former sins, or the shame, or the shadows. Those things no longer define you. Now you're identified with this man. Now and forevermore, you're identified with this man and with the living water that flows from his side. You're the bride of Christ. You're his beloved. And now we can say to the woman, it's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you. Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our dear Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned, Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. We thank you for all who serve faithfully within the church, especially for our church council, and for Thane, and the leadership you have provided to us for many years through him. We pray also that you would protect and preserve pastors as they serve in their offices. Seek out and restore those who have wandered, and bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Thane, Annette, Marilyn, Dick, Betty, Lynette, Jim, Michelle, Randy, Rosemarie, Nancy, Audrey, Eldon, Robert and Ruth, John, Sherry, Ed, Alicia, Ted, as well as Karen, Rick, Andrea, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times. Thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Give our rulers humility and wisdom. Grant peace to all lands, especially Ukraine. Bless our homes, and be with all expectant mothers and their little ones, including Laura, Kay, Rachel, Abby, and Emma. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. O Heavenly Father, strengthen us through the holy communion of your Son's body and blood, that by it we might receive forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. And finally, deliver us from all evil of body and soul, now and eternally. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy, to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and right we do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm for today is Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your domain endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
Thank you.
Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be restrained, but have the free rein it deserves, and be proclaimed for the salvation of souls and for the joy and the strength of Christ's holy people, so that we serve you with steadfast faith and confess your name to the end, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.